I've often thought about this. Are young people collecting art these days? And what is it that they might be looking for? Well, yes, it seems that millennials are looking for art, and especially from contemporary painters, sculptors, printmakers, jewelry makers, and even more. And younger people, along with us older generationals, love to meet artists and share in their stories, their creations, their designs, over live music and a cocktail or two. The Allentown Art Museum offers an opportunity to do all of those things, with cocktails and collecting. The fabulous AAM fundraiser event that's celebrating its 14th anniversary, November the 2nd from 6 to 9 p.m. And there's even an after party at the Dime in downtown Allentown. This is WDIY 88.1 Lehigh Valley Public Radio, and you are tuned into Lehigh Valley Art Salon. I remain George Miller, and along with my wife and co-host Kate Scuffle, we converse this day with Lauren Bradley of Rago Arts in Lambertville, committee chair for cocktails and collecting, and with Kate Hughes of the Bethlehem House Gallery and MC of this exciting event November 2nd at the Allentown Art Museum. Welcome, Kate. Welcome, Lauren.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's great to have you guys with us. And this sounds like an amazingly fun and wonderful event. Are you new to working on the project? Have you done other cocktails and collecting before?
We were both on the artist committee last year.
Right.
But this is my first time chairing the event.
Yeah, this is a first for me too.
Is it?
Yeah.
No, it's exciting because there seems to be the I've always thought it was a wonderful event. You have the opportunity to meet the artists, to hear their stories, to talk to them about their work. And it just sounds like there's a lot of some fun new additions this year as well. So I was just intrigued. Kate, what is it to be an MC of the event?
We'll find out, won't we? Well, it was funny. I was sitting at one of our meetings, and Chris Potash was sitting there, and he said, you know, it would be really great if we had enough in our budget for an MC. And he looked deep within my eyes. And I just jumped up out of my chair, and I said, I'll do it. So, yeah, I mean, I act, and I have my own radio show. And I actually have done a couple of charity events where I've been the MC, and I love it. So my plan is just tell the stories about the artist, explain why it's so important to collect art, and really just have a good time and see that art is very accessible, it's fun, and it's absolutely necessary.
Mm-hmm. And the event, for our listeners, just to know the concept is that it's a social evening, it's a fundraiser for the museum for programs like Artways and the Free Sundays program, but it's also, in essence, a kind of a showcase, an opportunity to meet and mingle with dozens of local or emerging, and often many well-known artists from the area, and they'll have their work there, correct? And then be able to talk with the patrons and the visitors about their process or the work itself.
Right. So the artists are invited to exhibit at the museum, and they'll be in three different galleries, and everything they're offering is available for purchase. And that's one of the things that I think is really cool about it, is that you get to talk to the artists about their work and the process, and really kind of, get to know what they were thinking about. So then if you end up purchasing the piece, you know, you have this great story that you can tell.
Personal connection to it.
The story and the painting.
Yeah. That's right.
Both. The item, yeah.
And what do you look for when you, it's a great diverse group of artists. Is there any through line or anything you were looking for in putting this group together?
Well, when I was asked to participate in selecting the artists, I just felt like that was right, exactly where I would need to be. Because of my connection with the Allentown Art Museum and Bethlehem House Gallery, I've had so many wonderful experiences meeting new and upcoming and established artists. So it wasn't hard to select the artists. I asked them, and they sort of jumped at the opportunity to participate at such a beautiful museum. So a lot of the artists are artists that I've worked with in the past. Some of them are artists that I know and have worked with in different capacities. But it's nice. I know everybody on the roster, and I feel 100% confident that this will be a really spectacular evening, and the art's going
to
be.
And some of the artists are new to the event, but then there's also some returning artists too, which is nice, because some crowd favorites, and then some new that are just being introduced to the museum patrons for the first time.
I'm thinking about, we talked about this a little beforehand, the concept of collecting, you know, versus maybe I go out once in a while, I'm at an art market or a gallery and I pick up a piece of jewelry or a vase. But that's not, I'm not a collector at that point. I'm someone who, something caught my fancy. What, talk a little bit about, if you could, the joys of, what's that difference? What is it about choosing to live with art and to get to know an artist, like you were saying, Lauren? That the house gallery, I know, kind of celebrates that concept that art's something we live with. It's not something put away in a museum only or whatever. What do you hope people come away with from the evening in that sense? And what are the joys of collecting they're missing if they haven't started?
Well, I think one of the things we've talked about when we were kind of talking about the event in general is just how, you know, getting people comfortable with it and getting people comfortable with, you know, with art, and also getting to know what are their tastes. Sometimes people, if they're new to collecting, they might not even know exactly what it is they like. Right. And so, you know, this kind of variety of artists and having all these different styles and, you know, even, you know, prints or works on paper and paintings, sculptures, it gives people an opportunity to kind of figure out what do I like, which is kind of a neat thing to get to see and figure out about yourself.
We talked briefly about maybe some of the items that might be available, and it's both some traditional art, some very contemporary art, in addition to jewelry and in addition to glassware.
Yeah, we have a really nice...
So it's not just paintings.
No.
In fact, one of the things that's exciting, there's a cocktail glass artisan raffle. Kiki, can you tell us a little bit about this? Oh. We have a prop here in the studio,
actually.
Yeah,
I brought a prop with me. I love props. So we had asked the artists, all of them, if they would be interested in taking just a regular plain cocktail glass and sort of fashioning it in a way that would kind of explain what kind of art they do or kind of showcase it. It would have Cocktails and Collecting 2019 on it, stamped on it somewhere, and we would raffle those off in front of each artist's stand that evening. It kind of just would link it to the idea of the night, that it's, you know, collecting and it's also cocktails, and then you walk away with this beautiful cocktail glass, one of a kind. No one will have the glass if you win it. And the artists are really excited about it, so it's sort of blowing up on social
media.
And
we've seen a few sneak peeks, and they are amazing. I mean, they've really taken the idea and run with it. It's great.
I saw a few on Facebook, actually, right before I came over here tonight, and I was delighted. They're gorgeous. They're and so different.
Yeah. Right.
Really fascinating.
It's such a fun idea, too. So, I mean, even that, you could collect those if this, catches on and the artists really like it. The plan is to continue every year. So then you get a 2020 and
keep going.
Yeah. Get a whole set of glassware.
That's right.
And I would love to mention some of the artists besides Femi Johnson, Anne Lalek, Rigo Peralta, and Deb Slata, and many others that we know that are on the list.
Ooh. Danny Polk, whose cocktail glass is sitting right here.
I have it right here.
That's right. But I don't want to mention those names because I can't mention them all.
There's a tremendous list. It's a wonderful, diverse group. But the passports, we were talking about passports earlier, but I never quite figured out what the passport's for.
So the passport idea is kind of interesting. When you walk in, you'll get the program for the event, which is just a card. Okay. And then it'll list all of the different artists. And the passport concept is that you would, to kind of increase flow and get people really moving around all the galleries and making sure they get to see all the different artists, you would walk around and then get your passport marked. And then once you fill up your passport, you can enter to win a prize at the end.
All right.
So,
and the passport stops, of course, are the artist's booths.
Right.
When you finish with that and you have a full passport, gosh, that just feels so good, doesn't it?
You saw them all.
So there'll be a little prize at the end of the night for that, too.
Yeah.
I think it would be tempting to probably get stranded at one or two booths or to get talking over a cocktail. So it's a lovely way to remember the map, to keep going and exploring. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people that that you'll know and that you run into friends. Right. And so, it is a good way to be like, well, I have to fill my passport. I can't just stop and chat. I'll see you at the after party.
I have an itinerary. I have to keep moving.
Yes.
I have a goal
Must
here.
Move forward.
And the after party, is that where? At the Dime?
Yes.
Downtown Allentown. Mm-hmm. Only those with a wristband from the evening will be at the after party.
And the Dime so graciously is offering 10% to go back to the museum.
And that's important to remember, too. This is a signature fundraiser for the Art Museum and allows the museum to offer things like Artways and the free Sundays, of course. Kate, you shared a little story with us beforehand about the difference it makes for a young person to encounter the arts. Would you share that again?
Oh, sure. Yeah. I just think that people that are of a certain age, maybe they feel a little intimidated going into galleries. That's been my experience for sure. And, you know, once you show them that art is totally accessible and it's not just what you physically see, there's a story behind each and every piece. There's a story behind every artist, how they got there, their struggles, how art was always a part of them. And it's more than collecting and appreciating. It's sort of like a movement in my mind. I look at art as a language that we all speak. We all speak it. You know, things might strike us a little bit differently, and we might feel something different than the next person over one piece of artwork. But if it makes you feel something, you're speaking the language. You're understanding the language already. And it's important to encourage that with people of all ages, and not just young people. Right. But I think what we're sort of facing, and it's not really a problem, it's just more like an unanswered question, I guess, is how do we make it accessible to people? And an evening like this, I think, we're all in agreement, it's just the perfect way to celebrate the arts. It's going to be a really fun night, and people will walk away. If they don't walk away with something new for their home, they're walking away with this appreciation that maybe they didn't have before.
Right.
And maybe they'll visit the artists later. I just think all the way around it's such a fun and smart way to spend an evening.
And we should remind our audience, it is this Saturday, November 2nd, 6 to 9 p.m. at the Allentown Art Museum, spread out over several galleries. Food and drink, what would we expect of the evening?
Well, there'll be a lot of both.
I was going to say that.
we have some signature drinks that'll be provided from a few different places. And then we have a full bar. And all of the catering is provided by Karen Hunter.
Okay.
So it's going to be really great. And that's what's nice, too, is the food's kind of set up throughout. So, you know, in the two galleries on the ground floor, there'll be, you know, bar and food. And then on the lower level in the auditorium, more drinks and food. Right. So, yeah, it should be really
nice.
You
won't be hungry and you won't be thirsty.
No, you won't.
And that's like a smorgasbord for it just comes with the price of the ticket.
Right. A way to graze your way through the art.
Yeah.
And music.
Yes.
There's both a DJ and live music. Am I right or wrong?
Yeah.
Yes, that's true.
Jim Loftus.
Jim Loftus on the piano.
I've known Jim for, I don't know, 20 decades, I think. long time. I know Jim. I'm very happy to work with him again. Yeah, and we'll have a DJ that night, and it'll be like I said, it's an evening filled with art in every sense
in every
of the
way.
Word.
Yeah. I was curious, is there anything that's ever in attending the event in the past? Well, we're coming up on a break. Maybe I shouldn't get into long stories, but think about what might have been surprising to you, things you've seen, things that you felt were, I don't know, favorite stories of the evening, successes, people that maybe discovered something, art, that they didn't know they would have fallen in love with, which I'm sure happens quite often.
It does.
Throughout the evening. It just seems like the perfect environment for it.
I think that's probably the takeaway from this. It's something perhaps unexpected to people, and I did notice that last year. They're like, hey, look what I just got. I'm like, oh, that's amazing. And they'd tell me exactly where it's going to go and what it reminds them of, and it just makes you happy.
Yeah.
You know, it's something that someone has put time and energy and maybe tears into, you know, and it's a piece of art, a piece of something that no one else has, which is incredibly valuable.
Yeah. And if you're somebody that just typically collects paintings and then you're, you know, in this environment where there's this great ceramic art or there's, you know, a printmaking studio, it may open your horizons a little bit and kind of think, wow, this is something that I could, you know, explore a little bit more. So it can be really exciting in that way, I think.
And there's always the cocktail glasses. So, I mean, there's no excuse for not going home with
these. I'm really excited to see how that, you know, how people respond to that. I think it's going to be really exciting.
I think so, too.
I think that'd be just as interesting to talk to the artists about their because it wouldn't necessarily be the first choice of medium for some of the artists, right. Which is what's
probably absolutely.
A really interesting
leap
for them.
It to be a sort of a challenge, but they like it.
Yeah. Nice. And what I love is some of them that I've seen, I mean, you could actually drink out of them. Yeah. And others, you literally couldn't pick it up as a glass. So, right. But which makes it very cool. So it's an interpretation, I think.
Very good, very good. Incidentally, coming up at the Art Museum on November the 10th, New York City designer Nymar Felder and film historian Amy Corbin of Muhlenberg host a panel discussion entitled The Darker Side of Hollywood, Breaking the Mold of Gender and Race in the Golden Age of Hollywood. It's a fascinating, illuminating talk on the fabulous Designing Hollywood exhibition that is still running at the Art Museum until December the 22nd. We shall return in a brief moment.
Spread the word about your business or organization to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR News and locally produced programs reaches thousands of engaged listeners in the Lehigh Valley and beyond. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable and effective way to provide information about your product and services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, 610-694-8100, extension 6, or WDIY.org.
You're listening to Lehigh Valley Art Salon on WDIY 88.1, Many Choices, Real Voices. I am George Miller, and along with my wife, Kate Scuffle, we're talking today with Lauren Bradley of Rego Arts in Lambertville, Committee Chair for Cocktails and Collecting at the Allentown Art Museum, and with Kate Hughes of the Bethlehem House Gallery and MC of this exciting event on November the 2nd. This is truly exciting. Because I love to look at art. I love to go to the museum. And this is a fundraising event, which means that we have to make an extra effort to get there and see what's happening.
That's right.
So where do we get our tickets?
Well, you can go right online.
Mm-hmm.
Right at the museum.
Mm-hmm. And that website is?
I think it's www.allentownartmuseum.com, I think.
.org.
Okay.
So you can buy your tickets, right online.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it is a fundraiser for the museum, and so the main thrust of it is to buy art at the actual event,
right.
Because the artists share proceeds with the museum. Mm-hmm. And so that's the main way that the museum is gathering funds.
Right.
But in addition to that, I mean, we have a lot of local sponsors, which is really fantastic, too, because I think this whole event is about bringing the community together in a lot of ways, because you're bringing local artists in, but then you're also bringing in, you have sponsors that year after year have sponsored this event. And then this year we have a number of brand new sponsors who, are new to the museum and new to sponsoring the museum. So I just think all around, it's just a great community event from, the ground up, really.
Right. And one of the things I think that is new this year, if I'm right, might be artist talks during the event itself.
Yeah. So this year, with the idea of trying to make it accessible and comfortable and making people feel, sometimes I think people are afraid to ask questions about art and about collecting, thinking, oh, well, I should already know the answer to this. And that's definitely not true. So we kind of came up with a series of artist talks, a couple kind of different subjects, and then put it out to the artist and said, anybody out there interested in doing talks on these subjects? And we got some feedback. So we're going to have three different talks. They'll be about 10, 15 minutes and just very casual about collecting art in general, not about their particular art, but more just making people feel, at ease and maybe answering some of their questions that they were afraid to ask or letting them ask them to the artist right then and there.
Yeah, I think that's something that's really important to mention and remember, because that doesn't happen. You can, if you go into a museum or a gallery, chances are the artists that made the artwork in there are not going to be there. This is an evening where we're all under one roof together. There's going to be so much creativity. It's going to be incredible. Yeah. I mean, and then the Jean London costume exhibit is there, which is exquisite. Amazing. So this year we brought in a local designer, Laura Bly, who makes these beautiful, beautiful outfits. They're pieces of art for sure. Right. So and there'll be jewelry there. It's very accessible artwork. And then you, on top of it, you get to meet the creator.
Right.
It must be interesting for the artist as well to meet the the collector or the buyer as well, because often that might not be always the case. If they're working through a gallery, working through a dealer, maybe, maybe not, right? Am I right?
And I have been able to experience that when someone does buy something and the artist is right there. It's such this, I don't know, this magical sort of moment, because again, that doesn't happen every day. Yeah. And this will be an evening filled with that. Yeah. And I'm sure the artists are very happy to talk about their pieces and how they came to be and the technique. And you get to, you just look at it a different way, and you appreciate it more than you would if you just bought it off the shelf or something somewhere.
Someone had mentioned to me, a ceramicist I know, that in some ways one of the things that made them sad about what their audience or the buyer or the collector didn't realize is, you know, you can go into a Target and get a knockoff piece of faux pottery that's supposed to look artsy craftsy that's cost 99 cents to make and mass produced. He said, you know, and it's just, I wish I had the opportunity to talk with folks and be like, no, this is why it's different. This is why this is special.
Yeah.
You know, the vision, the work, all of it.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And kind of going back to something Kate said about the Jean London exhibit, the thing that's also kind of fun about this event is after you've bought all your art and eaten all your hors d'oeuvres, you can walk around the museum and see all of the things in the permanent collection and go upstairs and see the Jean London show. It's really great.
It's
kind of show-stopping, I think. Yeah.
And it's interesting because the pieces as costumes, you think, oh, costumes, but up close, they are works of art.
Oh, it's exquisite.
They're amazing.
You know what I learned? They put them in freezers and they're not in exhibition, and then thaw them out.
I know.
They're saving, you know, they don't want any damage to them at all.
Yeah, because when they were made, they weren't considered precious, right? And they weren't, it wasn't, no one thought they'd be in a museum and 50 years later.
Right.
But I'm glad they are.
Amazing. So.
And we have that right here. Isn't that incredible?
Yeah.
And it's an enormous exhibit. I mean, it is a joy to wander through. It's quite magical. So I'm glad there's a wearable art person involved with the show, et cetera, et cetera. And we know Anne and her jewelry. Yeah, it'll be, sounds like a wonderful array. And I think a joy to share with folks in the Valley instead of having to go to Philly or New York for an experience like this.
I mean, the Allentown Art Museum is such a lovely little gem. It just is. There's Frank Lloyd Wright. There's a whole room.
Yeah.
It's a whole room there in the Allentown Art Museum.
Yeah.
It's incredible. You know, and it's something that, of course, we want the younger generation to know about it too.
Right.
And it's right here.
And the museum's just opened itself up so much to the community with the events that they have and, you know, the free Sundays being accessible to people that maybe necessarily wouldn't think, oh, I'm going to go to the museum. But then, you know, they have this great experience. And so that's one of the things that this event helps fund. So, you know, it's just really full circle as far as community.
What drew both of you to being involved? I mean, this is a lot of work.
Yes, it is.
And you're giving your time.
That's true.
We're patting ourselves in the back right now. We're amazing
in the event planning. But what drew you both to it with your backgrounds in the arts? Why the Allentown Art Museum is just what you were saying, and why particularly this event?
I just knew ever since I was a little girl that art was what and where I needed to be. And I was a very shy child, and once I started doing art, again, that was my language. That was my way to communicate with people. It helped me fit in. So being involved with the Allentown Art Museum is, I mean, it's wonderful.
Perfect.
Of course I'm going to say yes. So that's my answer.
Right. And I first got involved with the museum through SOTA, Society of the Arts. And Kate's in that with me too.
Yeah,
so we're in that together. So that's how I initially got involved. And then things really snowballed, and I've just been enjoying everything they've been doing. And, you know, it's we've had a great time.
We're a great group of people, the Soda Ladies, that's for sure.
Yeah, we have a lot of fun together.
We have two wonderful.
We do a lot with the museum.
Yeah, we do. I vacuumed a costume or two.
Did you really?
Yeah, it was so exciting. Piece stored away. Yeah.
Wow.
Well, that makes
makes sense.
We participate.
Right.
Yeah.
Do it all.
Because Lauren, your background is in with galleries and auction houses, private art dealers and appraisers.
Right.
And then, Kate, your background is mostly in the fine arts as a graduate of Cedar Crest.
But then with the gallery, too, working with collecting and artists.
Yeah. Yeah, we're immersed. Immersed in the arts.
Yes, we are.
So we remind our audience again, November 2nd, 6 to 9 p.m., Cocktails and Collecting at the Allentown Art Museum. It's the 14th anniversary of the event, but it's fresh and anew as ever, with all kinds of wonderful things going on, an event not to be missed, and a lot of artists waiting to meet you.
Yeah.
And we're looking forward to seeing you. We'll be going, certainly, to participate. And I hope that all of you out there in Listeningville we'll do the same thing. We want to say thank you very much for being with us. Special thanks to Bill Dotermont-Smith, our technical engineer this day, who loves collecting old records, jazz records, the music of Spike Jones, various lengths of brown hemp string for some reason, and Halloween memorabilia like corn candy. You love corn candy, don't you, Bill? Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Uncle Bill.
Next up on Lehigh Valley Art Salon, At the Movies, a review of a current film with Paul Willistein of the Press.
Maleficent, Mistress of Evil is a hodgepodge of movies that have gone before, including Lord of the Rings, Where the Wild Things Are, The Hobbit, and, of course, Maleficent, released in 2014. The Maleficent character is based on Charles Perrault's fairy tale, published in 1697, and Walt Disney's theatrical animation feature film, Sleeping Beauty, released in 1959. Angelina Jolie is back in the title role of Maleficent, fairy godmother of Aurora, again played by Elle Fanning. Harris Dickinson replaces Brenton Thwaites as Prince Philip from the first Maleficent movie. New actors include Chiwetel Ejiofor as Kanal and Michelle Pfeiffer as Queen Ingrith. Michelle Pfeiffer has a major role, in screen time seeming to be nearly equal that of Angelina Jolie. Pfeiffer, as Queen Ingrith, opposes the marriage of Aurora and Prince Philip. There are more details in the plot, which are revealed very late in the movie. No spoilers here, though. Providing a lot of the visuals to pad out the movie are images of fairies, trolls, and other creatures from the moors, a magical forest presided over by Maleficent. The fairy tale characters look like escapees from Jim Henson's Creature Shop. Several statuesque trees gambol about, and they owe their origin to Groot in Guardians of the Galaxy. Maleficent, Mistress of Evil, weaponizes the creatures of the moors and also the humans defending the castle of Queen Ingrith and King John, providing for an extended battle scene that is very stereotypical. Joaquin Roening, who directed Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Men Tell No Tales, directs competently from a screenplay by Mika Fitzman-Blue and Noah Harpster. The screenplay is also written by Linda Wolverton, who wrote the screenplay for the original Maleficent, and also for The Lion King and Alice in Wonderland. Apparently, computer-generated imagery was employed to enhance Angelina Jolie's cheekbones, which are as sculpted as the fenders of a 1959 Buick. It's a distraction. Even Angelina Jolie's shoulder blades appear to have been put under the CGI knife. Her bizarre appearance, including, of course, horns that rival the antler rack on a bull moose, and a mask-like face, thwart her, giving her an almost expressionless performance. If Angelina Jolie as Maleficent is mostly posing or flying about, Michelle Pfeiffer as Queen Ingrith is statuesque, as in statue. Her regal bearing serves the character, but her static and stoic performance doesn't serve the film. Elle Fanning is the one bright spot in Maleficent, Mistress of Evil. When she's on screen, the moviegoer experiences genuine emotion. Maleficent, Mistress of Evil is MPAA rated PG for intense sequences of fantasy, action, violence, and brief, scary images. Opening November 1st, Terminator, Dark Fate. Tim Miller directs Mackenzie Davis, Linda Hamilton, Edward Furlong, and Arnold Schwarzenegger in the science fiction action film. Sarah Connor and a cyborg protect a young girl from a new Terminator. The Irishman. Martin Scorsese directs Robert De Niro and Al Pacino in the biography crime drama based on the killing of union boss Jimmy Hoffa. Harriet. Cassie Lemons directs Cynthia Erivo, Leslie Odom Jr., and Joe Alwyn in the biography drama about Harriet Tubman and her escape from slavery. I'm Paul Willistein of Lehigh Valley Press at the movies for WDIY.
And this concludes this evening's edition of Lehigh Valley Art Salon. Coming up in about 30 seconds, we have On Every Main Street. Time right now, 6:29 and 30 seconds. You are listening to WDIY Lehigh Valley Public Radio, your trusted source for NPR news since 1995, serving the Lehigh Valley for 25 years. Thank you to everyone who contributed to WDIY's fall membership drive. Because of you, we met our financial goal and provided Second Harvest Food Bank with over 11,000 meals to distribute to those in need. We couldn't be here without you. Up next, On Every Main Street.
Good evening and welcome to WDIY and the program On Every Main Street. This program takes a deeper look into the greater Lehigh Valley Chamber of Commerce and all of its affiliates. Today we welcome Gina Martens and Allison Pickle, the Senior Vice Presidents of Member Relations and Sales for the Lehigh Valley Chamber. There are so many things that we can talk about on our program On Every Main Street when we talk about the Lehigh Valley Chamber. Let's talk about membership benefits and some of the things that we might not know about. You were talking about earlier.
Sure. Yeah, thank you. And you know, what's unique to our members is it's not the same for every member. I know we've talked before about the networking element to membership, right? And we seem to talk about that a lot. But I think some of those exclusive membership programs that members can access to have a discount with things like electricity or natural gas or office supplies, those are some ways that members can save money. And so we like to find out from our businesses what they're looking.
How do I get a discount on my electricity?
So you would contact Gina Martens or myself in regards to signing you up for a consultation, and we would connect you directly with our sales representative to talk to with the business owner.
What type of discount could I get?
Right. It's different. What they'll do is they'll come in and they'll analyze your current spend, and then they'll put a program together that works for you. But the fact is it's an exclusive program only for chamber members. We have the same program on a natural gas side with Direct Energy. Direct Energy would like to sit down with some of our members, identify what their current spend is, and see where they can help them. And those are some benefits that sometimes our members don't necessarily know about. Allison and I host a new member orientation every other month, six times a year, for members to come and learn about these benefits. And it's amazing. I think it's eye-opening. Members don't realize that there are these opportunities and these exclusive programs for members. Another great program I'd love to touch on is our business insurance program. While it's not necessarily a discounted program, it's a dividends back program. So members enrolled in the Penn National Business Insurance Plan have an opportunity to earn a dividends check at the end of the year. And this past year, members of the Greater Lehigh Valley Chamber of Commerce that were enrolled in that program received an 8% dividends check back. That's huge. So we'd love to grow that program. We'd love more members to take advantage of the Penn National program. We have many brokers within the chamber that offer the Penn National insurance. We can connect members. So members would call into Allison or I, and then we can connect them out to one of the many insurance brokers that offer Penn National so that they can get a quote and learn how Penn National can benefit them in their business.
So what you're saying is if I pick a number, spend $1,000, then I get $80 back?
Correct, yes. And in many cases, members receive their membership investment back, which is just incredible. So it's just been great value. And the more members we have enrolled, the greater we potential we have to grow this program. But our members received a dividends check. We're going on 4 years in a row of receiving a dividends check back.
If I were going to come to one of your presentations, and I'm not saying that I would do this because I haven't, because we're members of the chamber, but if I might say no, why might I say no?
A no to?
To membership.
Oh, gosh. Well, maybe it's a matter of...